Hey everyone, welcome in. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and we are here together to talk about the Vikings, the offseason, the season that was, what's been going on around here at Winter Park for the last week, and look ahead as the Vikings try and build toward the 2017 season. Hey, Nate.
Hello, Wobby.
What's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. What you been working on?
Well, a lot of end-of-year stuff, predictably. We're with the VEN. We're working on a lot of, you know, top five offensive plays, top five defensive plays, recapping some cool moments from the 2016 season. And as we all know, the season itself didn't really turn out the way a lot of people hoped and thought it might. But that doesn't mean there weren't a lot of cool moments.
That's right.
In that season. So we're going to hopefully take a look, closer look at some of those and look forward to what could be many more.
Yep. You build on those positives from the season. So the season is over. The work has only begun for the Vikings and for Vikings Entertainment Network and for you guys, the fans and the listeners. So we're going to get into what's ahead for the Vikings in the offseason in a bit. But first, let's talk about what's been going on around Winter Park the last week or so. A lot has happened since the Vikings concluded their season with a victory over the Bears. The players' last day here at the facility was Monday of this week. So they all get in the locker room, they say goodbye to each other, they clean out their lockers, they talk to the media. So we're going to have highlights from some of the player availability from their last day here at Winter Park coming up in a bit. And also, Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer had his season-ending press conference on Tuesday. So we've got a couple of noteworthy clips from that we're going to share with you. So let's get to work, and we'll start with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, who says the organization is on a mission. Nate, we know from being around the building and from knowing coach that, you know, he's kind of pissed off and frustrated with how things went, how the season ended. These guys pour a lot of time and effort into winning games and qualifying for the postseason, and they didn't do that, so he's disappointed. But in listening to his press conference, I thought he took a constructive tone, and I thought that that's kind of a sign of someone who's got their emotions in check, and it's a sign of good leadership. It makes me feel like Zim has a good handle on what needs to be done to fix this thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. It also, so it feels like a combination of that and a willingness he has that that next week is week one of the regular season of 2017.
Right.
You feel like he's ready to, like you said, he's a little bit angry, but he's also excited about the future and he wants to get going.
Yep. So here is what I view someone who's highly competitive and frustrated channeling those emotions into productivity. Take a listen.
You know, we're disappointed that we didn't finish the season that we're sitting here right now. But, you know, when you go back and reflect on a lot of things that happened throughout the course of the season, I think there was a lot of good things. You know, the players, give them credit. They played extremely hard all year long. They studied. They worked. They did the things that I try to get them to do. They stuck together as a team, which I think was important throughout the different adversities that we had. But we obviously have to get a lot better. I have to do a much better job than what I did. And I think collectively as an organization, we need to continue to look at every possible thing that we can improve at.
So with as much as Coach Zimmer has to be negative about, it sounds like from a big picture perspective, he feels the team should be confident moving forward. And he's talked to some players in their exit interviews, and those guys are confident as well. So while the season didn't end the way it wanted to, all is not lost. There's a lot upon which to build for 2017.
We will be on a mission to get this thing fixed to where we need to get to go. I do think we have a good nucleus in this football team here. I think Rick's done an unbelievable job of bringing the right kind of guys in. All the meetings that we had with the players yesterday, they believe that we have a extremely strong locker room. We have the right kind of guys here, and you know, obviously, we're doing a lot of soul searching as to why we didn't get into the playoffs.
Lastly, on this, Nate, I did a little defensive study. When you look at the Vikings defense, I think what happened against the Colts and at Lambeau in the first half, that's fresh in your mind, right?
Yeah.
It just happened. Two uncharacteristic performances by the Vikings defense. And I think because it just happened, that is on the top of people's minds, the recency effect. And I think that it overshadows what was otherwise a stellar, a great season by the Vikings defense. They finished the season number 3 in total defense, which is yards allowed, and number 6 in scoring defense, which is points allowed. The two games that hurt the Vikings in those rankings were the Indianapolis game and the game at Lambeau. If you take the 4 quarters against the Colts and the first 2 quarters against the Packers, 20% of the points that we allowed were in just those 6 quarters.
Wow.
10 points per quarter in those 6 quarters. The other 58 quarters of the season, the Vikings allowed 4 points per quarter.
Wow.
And I think you can't take those quarters away. They happened, and they impacted our season. They came at a crucial moment. But I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. This was a very good season for the Vikings defense. Also a very good season for Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford. Here is Zimmer talking about his quarterback.
Well, Sam, I think Sam has played great this year, number one. I think he's earned the right to be the starting quarterback. And Sam has done remarkable the things he's done this year with all the things that he's had to do.
Loved hearing this, Nate, because I think it's real easy in this snarky day and age for people to tease or make fun of the Vikings for the Bradford trade. And because it was like, oh, they did that to save their season and make a Super Bowl run, and they didn't even make the playoffs, ha, ha, ha. But I'm saying I'm the other way around. I think the trade looks great in hindsight. You know, the guy sets an NFL record for completion percentage, had a touchdown interception ratio of 20-5, and had the best statistical season of his career with us, and he joined us 8 days in front of the season.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago that happened. It seems like a long time ago, and it seems like yesterday at the same time.
Yes.
But I don't think we can overstate that.
Right.
That he was a Minnesota Viking just over a week before the regular season started.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this great season. No, the team season didn't turn out like we wanted, but Sam Bradford was one of the highlights of this Vikings team.
He almost played lights out. He only had 5 picks the whole season, 20 touchdowns, NFL record completion percentage, Vikings record for completions in a season. And so to me, I would do the trade all over again because he was our starter this year for 15 games, and he's going to be our starter next year, according to what Zimmer just said. You just heard Mike Zimmer say he's earned the right to be the starter. So you get a starting quarterback that plays at a high level for at least 2 seasons for a first-round pick. A first-round pick, by the way, that's like the 14th or 15th pick, not a top-5 pick, not a top-10 pick. To me, I would do that every single time. I mean, I think it's fair to think that Bradford's going to be the starter for at least 2 seasons, maybe 3, 4 or more. And to get that guy for a first-round pick, to me, is fair value.
Plus, if we're talking about quarterbacks in a first-round pick, no, we probably wouldn't have picked a quarterback with that first-round pick this coming season. But if that's what we're talking about, you're basically 50-50 on whether that quarterback is going to be the guy you think and want that guy to be. So you take the sure thing in Sam Bradford. At least for year one, he was the sure thing.
Yeah.
No reason to believe he can't do the same next season.
And he's not 36 years old or 35 years old. He's 28.
Right.
Sam Bradford, I think, is 28 or 29, whatever. Like, he's in the middle of the prime of his career. And so so the Vikings look good in the Bradford trade. I think it's going to help them next season as well. So, and also, he proved his doubters wrong. If you were a Sam Bradford hater going into the season, the two things you hung your hat on were he always gets hurt and he cannot rise above poor play around him. Well, this year, he did not get hurt. He played in all 15 games that he was asked to play in, and he played in front of an offensive line that, quite frankly, was not up to snuff because of some injuries and some rotations that they had to deal with. And Bradford still played great. So he proved his doubters wrong. Adrian was a big talker on the player's last day at Winter Park. You know, he had a media availability, and he's under contract for the Vikings in 2017. But his cap number and salary are high enough that a lot of people on the outside are speculating whether he will be back or not. So that's going to be something that people are going to look at all off season. I thought this quote from Adrian was super cool.
I've been taking in a lot here the past couple weeks, and just the fans here, man. You know, I've been here for 10 years, you know, and we have a great team. We have some great things going on here in Minnesota, and you know, I would love to continue to be a part of that, you know, and you know, so that's how I'm thinking. You know, I haven't said, you know what, it's the free agency, I get to test this, so you know, I'm just gonna, you know, write myself off, you know, here in Minnesota. You know, well, I think we've all dealt with a lot, you know, from personal level, and you know, so I'm going to this, you know, thinking about my guys and wanting to be back with my guys, you know, and realizing at the end of the day, it is a business, you know. So, you know, I always just let the chips fall where they may, you know. But like I said, you know, I would love to finish my career here and, you know, try to help bring a Super Bowl to Minnesota.
Nate, there are two reasons that I will never bet against Adrian.
Okay, only two?
Well, these are the top two.
Okay.
Physically, he's a freak, and he's continued to defy the odds in his career. But secondly, his mindset and determination, evidenced by this clip that we have of Adrian.
But do you feel like you can still play at a high level, 32, 33, 34?
Yeah, 35, 36. You know, I was going to cut it off short. But yeah, definitely, man. I feel good, you know. It's so unfortunate that, you know, especially like for the running back position, that you're numbered, you know. And I've always been a guy that, you know, I don't think that way. You know, I don't, you know, I think outside the norm, you know, like my injury, for example, you know, 4 to 6 months recovery, you know, and that's, I've never seen anyone come back before then, you know. And I choose to think differently, you know. And I serve a, not perfect at all, but I serve a higher power, and I believe things differently. You know, so it's the same thing when it comes to playing this game, you know. I know that I have at least 7 more years. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, God's willing, you know, stay healthy, I'll play 5 more, and it's going to be at a high level, you know. So that's the way that, you know, I envision things going for me when it comes to my career and how I think about it.
Okay, let's move on to the offensive line. I thought Alex Boone had some cool quotes. Now, Alex has been in the league for a while, so he understands how it goes. He talked about the frustration that you can experience in the NFL because the competitive balance is so good, the margin between winning and losing is so thin that it can warrant a lot of like jubilation and exhilaration, but also a lot of frustration. And the Vikings are dealing with the frustration right now after starting 5-0. And I thought his comments, you know, lent some perspective to it. I thought he was pretty good. And he also talked about the silver lining of all of the different combinations the Vikings offensive line had to deal with, 8 different starting combinations along the line, and then more if you consider some of the injuries that happened during the game. For example, in the last game, it was our 8th different starting offensive line, but like in the first quarter, TJ Clemmings went out, and so Rashad Hill came in. So that was another different combination that we were dealing with. But Alex Boone said there's a silver lining to all of that.
Crazy to think 7 different offensive line combinations.
Yeah, I mean,
in 16 games.
I mean, that was one of the things we kind of struggled with all year, and it was one of those, you know, a lot of guys became men real quick, and you know, they didn't have a choice. And proud of the way those guys stepped up. You know, a lot of guys stepped up this year, filled roles that they didn't expect to have to do, and a lot of guys got moved out of position. And you know, the one thing about that group is everyone played hard all the time. You never questioned their effort. You know, they gave you what they had, and for that I'll always be thankful. And a lot of guys really kind of made a name for themselves, and it's, you know, proud of that group for what we went through.
I think, Nate, maybe one of the guys he's talking about making a name for themselves because they were thrust into action is Nick Easton, who the Vikings acquired in the Gerald Hodges trade last year. He played a bunch this year. It's interesting. You and I have been in the league long enough to know not everyone comes in as a highly praised first-round pick. Some guys got to earn it the hard way. Maybe this was one of the steps early in his career that Nick Easton is taking to earn it the hard way.
Yeah, and as you saw towards the end of the season, he became a part of the starting lineup, yeah. And Joe Berger comes back. Guess who's still in the starting lineup, Nick Easton. So I think that says something for how he played.
Yeah, and then maybe Rashad Hill too. I think everyone was impressed with the brief time that Rashad Hill got, playing three quarters of a game only, but still, it's all that we've seen of him. We got him from Jacksonville on November 15th, and I thought that he had a good accounting of himself in that game. One of my favorite quotes from Locker. Have you heard this yet? Did you listen to Captain Munnerlyn?
I did.
Okay, this was one of my favorite quotes from the last day of players being at Winter Park, and it's Captain talking about Chad Greenway. Now, Captain is a cool cat, one of our favorite guys to have around because he's funny. He's got swag. He's just a cool guy to have around the building. But his perspective on the Vikings is going to be unique because he's not one of our born and bred guys. He's not a guy that we raised here. He came from the outside, and now he's on our side, but he used to look at us from an outsider's perspective. And so the narrative around Chad Greenway and his possible retirement is, oh, Chad is so awesome. We're so lucky to have had Chad. What a great Viking. What a great guy off the field. And that's all true. But Captain had a funny, comical, alternative perspective in joking way about Chad.
You got to live in the now. And Chad is a guy that's been blessed in this league. You look at Chad's career, I don't know if he's done or not, but at the same time, to be with one organization the whole entire time is a blessing. I got drafted in 2009 by Carolina, and my last 3 years I've been here. So Chad's one of those guys, we always called him the golden child. He definitely was a golden child, man. He's been around here for a very long time, and he get to go out his way. If he's done, he get to go out his way, and that's also truly a blessing.
Okay, funny stuff from Captain, but seriously on Chad. Now, listeners, Nate has a soft spot in his heart for Chad.
Okay? That's true. That's true.
He's an Iowa Hawkeye, and Nate, you're an Iowa Hawkeye at heart as well.
True. Grew up just north of Iowa City.
Right. So you're a big Hawkeye guy. And Chad, you and I have talked. He's a Vikings legend. Chad he's a legend in Iowa too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe even more so than in Minnesota.
Yeah. So, if that's it for Chad, it's been a great run, but I'll beg for him to come back. I'd love to have the guy back around the building. So
even if it is it for Chad, I'm sure there's probably a chance he shows up every once in a while around here too.
I think so too. So for more on Move Out Day and the Zimmer End of Season Press Conference, make sure you click around Vikings.com and check out the Vikings app. All right, let's look ahead, Nate. Key dates coming up in the offseason. You can re-sign your own free agents whenever you want, between now and whenever. But free agency starts on March 9th. That's always kind of a marketing person would call it a tentpole date in the off-season calendar. That's going to be March 9th. So circle your calendars for March 9th. That's when free agency starts. But before that, a bunch of stuff's going to happen. You're going to have the Pro Bowl. VEN is going to send a team down to the Pro Bowl to cover that. You're going to have the Senior Bowl. VEN is going to send two people down to cover the Senior Bowl. Craig Peters will be down there covering it, as well as Mike Harris. Nate, you and I are going to the Combine.
That we are. That's always a fun trip.
You're looking forward to that, right?
Yep.
Going to be a new setup at the Combine this year, too. It used to be Radio Row at the Combine used to be, and the Media Center used to be in the stadium where the Combine was being held.
Right.
This year it's in the Convention Center, which is connected to the stadium but a different location. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that setup is different.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. So you got Pro Bowl and Senior Bowl coming up shortly, eventually the Combine, Pro Days, and then you'll have the first day of the new league year on March 9th. That's free agency. Vikings with expiring contracts. I'll run down the list quickly. Matt Asiata, Audie Cole, Rhett Ellison, Chad Greenway, Mike Harris, Sean Hill. Charles Johnson is a restricted free agent. Matt Khalil, Zach Line, Jeff Locke, Jake Long, Captain, Terrence Newman, Cordero, Andre Smith, Adam Thielen is restricted, and Justin Tratow. So those are your potential Vikings free agents. Annual league meeting is at the end of March. The Vikings offseason program likely to begin April 17th. The NFL draft is at the end of April, April 27th to the 29th. The Vikings have 8 picks. And then either May 5th or May 12th, the Vikings can hold their annual rookie mini camp. So lots of stuff to look forward to in the offseason. What's your favorite part of the offseason, Nate?
I think probably what a lot of people would say is the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun night. Even I'm talking about the first round, I guess, specifically. Yeah. Even if we stay put where we are with all our draft positions and we don't have a pick in the first round, it's still a good excuse to just hang out and watch the draft.
Yeah.
You know, speculate about what all the other teams are thinking with their picks or not thinking with their picks. Sound like we know it all, and then figure out that we're almost all wrong.
Right.
When the season begins.
And that's the funny part about the whole thing is, like, right now, if you asked me to put together a mock draft, I mean, I honestly wouldn't. I don't know five names.
Yeah, it'd be tough to name enough names for the first round.
And 2 months from now, you know, I'm not going to be an expert on these. I don't proclaim myself to be an expert, but I'll be able to.
You're talking about potential sixth-round picks
for the
Vikings.
Yes, and you know them, and you know their names, you know, and their height and weight and what they ran in the 40 and how many games they played in and how many picks they had. So it's a funny process, and that all is going to start to ramp up here right now. Speaking of the draft, the Vikings and the Colts will have a coin flip for the 14th overall pick in the draft. And then the Vikings will either pick 14th or 15th in the second round, depending on if they win or lose that toss. Of course, the Vikings won't pick in the first round. That will be the Eagles' pick, but it'll still be the Colts and the Vikings who have that coin flip. I think they'll do that at the combine because both teams were 8-8, and so we'll have a coin flip at the combine to see who picks first. 2017 opponents. The schedule will be released, we presume, at some point in April. That's when it usually comes out, before the draft.
Like, yeah, usually right around
the week
draft.
Before or the week of the draft. And so we don't know when we're going to play these opponents, but we know who the opponents are and we know where we're going to play the opponents. So as you glance, Nate, at the home and away opponents, anything notable there for you? I'll start. Playing at Pittsburgh is super cool. It's outdoor stadium, Heinz Field, natural grass. I think it's a beautiful city. I think it's a city that's underratedly a pretty city. The city sits right on a couple of riverbanks, and Three Rivers meet, obviously, there. They used to play at Three Rivers Stadium. It's a beautiful city. It's a great, cool team, and the atmosphere at Heinz Field is out of this world. I don't know if you've been there yet or not.
I have.
You have.
I agree with you on all of those points.
So I'm excited about playing at Pittsburgh this season. You do it only once every 8 years. Now, my lovely wife goes to one road game per year, not with the team, just on her own. She buys a plane ticket, and she meets us at the city and goes to the game and enjoys the city. Last year, she went to the Carolina game. So she went to Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina the day before the game, went to the game on Sunday. I'm encouraging her to select Pittsburgh this season, just the same way I encouraged her to select Oakland last year, because these AFC cities that we go to, it's only once every 8 years. Right. And Pittsburgh is a super cool venue, so I'm encouraging her to select Pittsburgh for her road trip next year. But so that's one thing that stands out to me on the opponents for next year.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, and then I'll take the easy way out. I'll say the London trip to play against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Very much looking forward to that. So
yeah,
that'll be a fun experience, hopefully.
I hope it is, too. The NFC South teams that we play at home next year. So Vikings fans, if you're season ticket holders or if you're looking to go to a game, I think it's cool that we're going to have Drew Brees here. Not that we enjoy playing against him because he's really good. He's an all-time great, though. He's going to the Hall of Fame someday. And again, you don't know if you're going to – now, you play the NFC teams at least once every 4 years and likely – more than that.
Yeah.
But you just don't know how many more times Drew Brees is going to be in your backyard. Super cool that we're going to see Drew Brees. And then Jameis Winston, I like watching him play.
Yeah.
I hope he looks terrible against us in that game, but I think it's fun to watch Jameis Winston play. So both the Saints and the Buccaneers are coming to US Bank Stadium next year.
Then you have a couple AFC North teams in Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I guess every year Zimmer's here, you're a year away from that. He used to be in Cincinnati narrative, but
there's still
going to be a handful of familiar faces, obviously, for him when Cincinnati comes to town, too.
It'll be interesting to see then if, since we play Cincinnati in the regular season, if we'll play Cincinnati again in the preseason and if we'll practice out there with them again or if they'll come here. You know, teams don't always have a problem with playing a team in the preseason that they're going to play in the regular season, but some teams might, so that'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. The schedule, we think, is going to be released, though, later in April, so we'll have a long time to speculate about that. Wonder how many primetime games we'll have, too. I know the networks, you know, we were in a meeting the other day and it sounds like the networks love US Bank Stadium. So hopefully they'll want to, you know, hopefully Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football will want to come and have games in our building because it's fun to play on primetime, but it's better when you're the home team in those primetime games.
It is.
We'll have a lot of time to speculate about that. Anything else that we should talk about?
No, I don't think so. There's going to be plenty of time this offseason to talk about everything.
I think, there will be. I think the next Wobcast that we have, we're going to have Craig Peters join us.
Okay.
Because he's going to the Senior Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's a good idea.
Do a little Senior Bowl preview. And I'll even tease it a little bit. I know two things that Craig's going to want to talk about.
Okay.
Kevin McDermott's brother. Kevin McDermott's the Vikings long snapper.
Sure.
His brother is going to be at the Senior Bowl participating.
Okay.
He's a highly regarded prospect. And guess what position he plays?
I'm going to guess long snapper.
Offensive line.
Oh, okay.
You think our fans want to hear about offensive line prospects?
Yeah.
Yes,
maybe there can be
do.
A little secret recruiting.
Yep. So that'll be one thing Craig wants to talk about. And there's another family connection at the Senior Bowl. Matt Asiata's cousin is participating at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
Guess what position he also plays?
Offensive line.
Offensive line. So some stories kind of... crossing paths here that might interest some Vikings fans. So we'll see if we can convince Craig Peters to be our guest next week on the Wobcast. Talk about the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. That's it for now. This edition of the Wobcast is over. We'll have another one coming for you next week, and we'll talk about the Senior Bowl and a bunch of other fun stuff that pops up between now and then. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate your contribution.
Thank you.
On behalf of Nate, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. The Wobcast is over. Thank you for listening.